praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again to worship. We know on whom we believe. We know who spoke to us. And we know to whom we speak. We also know where we go when our earthly life is over. And at this occasion, because the thought fits here, I would like to say that we are on one hand sad that Brother Mikas went home. On the other hand, he is with the Lord. And on Monday at 11 hours, we will have the burial in the city of Neuss, in the hope that God will still speak to some whom he shall call. That's how it is our wish, and that's how surely was the prayer of our brother. Most surely you have seen that Brother Rus is not here today. A four-week recreation was prescribed to him, and we grant it to him with all our hearts. It would be nice if he could be here, but in the thoughts, he most surely is amongst us. We have last night heard a wonderful word. It's a difference whether one just reads a word, saying something about it, or whether one reads a word and notices that God speaks through the word personally to us. This is a very big difference. Everyone can read a word and say something about it. With that, nothing happened yet. But when God's word is being read and the Spirit of God quickens it and really speaks through it, then the time where we must hear has come, what the Spirit is saying through the word. I would like today to continue, and Brother Schmidt, he already read a word for introduction, which fits exactly to it. And when I was sitting there, the thought came to me, lift up your hands before God, because the time is today as it was then. The people were called together. Of the word it is being read, and God gives clarity and reveals that what he as his will has defined in his word. And I think we all should be made aware of in what time we are living in, being made conscious of what is happening now, being aware what is happening now. Not people are speaking about God's word. This may also happen somewhere, but amongst the people of God, God speaks through his revealed word. He made it alive through his Spirit. And this is great grace. I think we should once again stand up, calling upon God that he looks at us mercifully, speaking to us. Heavenly Father, we are coming into your holy presence. We are not Ezra and not Nehemiah. We are not Peter or Paul. But you are the same God, who you were and who you are and who you will be. You have gathered your people to in these days speak with us, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, we ask you for your presence. Lord, let heaven come down and come into our midst. Bless us. May everything else be put out from our hearts and thoughts. May your word be addressed to us. And may there be an inner agreement with an amen to every word which we hear. Lord, give grace as then that under the sound of your word, there's willingness, there's obedience and faith, and that everyone in his heart says yes and amen to your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 29, reading on, seeing what the Lord has to say to us. Yesterday, we read from Deuteronomy 29, verse 1, up to verse 9 we read. And I think that all who were here and all who were not here should hear this sermon confidently. I'm convinced on my inside that it is a spiritual upbuilding which God does now. And there shall not be any gap. Let us read from verse 10. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. Already here, we could stop. The people didn't stand before the priests, not before men. It stood before the Lord God. And you will see, from the least to the greatest, from the first to the last, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp. From the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, all the people were gathered, even those whom God had in their midst, who were not yet Israelites. This may say, when unbelievers are amongst the people, where God speaks, there he will add them into his church and he will subordinate them under his word. Your rulers, your officers, your captains, elders, and who they are, today you are all standing before the Lord your God. No one stood before the other one who would have sat as a judge. No one stood before the captain who would have given commands. No one was ruling over the other one. All, from the highest judge unto the hewer of the wood and to the carrier of water, all they stood on the same level before the Lord their God. And they recognized that only one can have the word, and that only one is the judge amongst them. We go on. Verse 12. That thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee your God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Yesterday we looked at that 40 years have passed. The making of the covenant from that time on, which we look at now, happened 40 years ago. Now, something special should take place. The people of Israel should enter the promised land. And they were in the mountains of Moab, in the land of Moab, right before the crossing of the River Jordan. And at that time, at the end of this generation, God gathered his own and said to them, from the least, from the first to the last, from the highest to the least, ye are all today gathered before the Lord your God. Not before a man, but all before the Lord their God. Now comes the point. God wanted to take his people into this covenant, and here's the word, and into his oath. God, of course, swore, he has given his oath, and these people should now be sworn in. They should be placed into this covenant of God. Beloved, it's a great difference whether God makes a covenant and then afterward everyone does what he likes, and that walking astray with their heart, or whether God is about to put into action the making of the covenant. And the result of all that was, of course, to bring the people into the land of promise. And to this it was not necessary, or not necessary alone, that God's commands and words would be engraved on stony tablets. To this it was necessary that all with whom God made a covenant, that they join into this oath. And you know where it aims? You just need to read from Hebrews. There it is being lined out that Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, by the oath, he became the high priest. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 7, from verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. There was a making of a covenant. And God swore, you are priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We know Aaron was, of course, the priest. And perhaps I should read here the verses 11 and 12 from Hebrews 7. Here it is written, "If therefore perfection whereby the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." We don't want to go here into details, but we know, of course, that in the Old Testament, all of the priesthood was after the order of Aaron. As Aaron was ordained and anointed as priest, so all his son and all the others he ordained also, and they carried out the priesthood. In the New Testament, a new priesthood, Jesus Christ is the high priest. At that time, Aaron was the high priest and ordained all the other priests, anointing them. And they were priests. Christ is the high priest. As he was anointed, so also we must be anointed. Do we understand what it's all about? What was done with Aaron was then done with all the other priests. They were priests after the order of Aaron. In the New Testament, we are a people of kings and priests. The New Testament high priest is Jesus Christ. And it is he after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord God revealed in the shape of a man, met Abraham and brought with him bread and wine, celebrating the Lord's Supper with Abraham. And whoever cannot believe this, he must read Hebrews 7. And it's written, if one interprets his name, then he's King of Salem, King of righteousness, King of peace. Is there one man who can be called King of glory? Most certainly not. It is written in Psalms, lift up ye gates, for the King of glory shall come in. And the question is, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. It is about more than we at this moment can understand. Here, the people of Israel should be set into the stand to that what they were prescribed by God. Until then, they were wandering in the wilderness. But now, they should receive the adoption, the setting in. And we are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, to the setting in. Here it is written, that you come into the oath, not just speaking about, not hearing, but setting in that the covenant with the Lord God made, that you confirm it on your side and that you submit to it. It continues. Verse 13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee thy God. Here we could go to Exodus 12, and it's written that the church of Israel went out. The blood was shed. The deliverance has come. And God did great signs and wonders. But the setting in happened just 40 years later. Only at that time, not until the time when the people of Israel was about to enter the land of promise. Let us keep this in mind, because it's very important. It's written literally, because he may establish thee today for a people. Not making yourself the people, but establishing, setting in, not redeeming, but as the redeemed, placing into the divine position as sons and daughters of God. We must read the Word of God attentively and letting God speak to us. The Lord wants to set in. It's of course written. God has set into the church. In the beginning, God has set. At the end, God must set. There's no other way. And there, where God cannot set in, there, no building up of the church is possible. There we can do all kinds of things, what we like. But God, we didn't serve God with that. Just the contrary. We are just in His way. There, where God plans something to do, there, He will, the divine order which He has given, He will put it into action. The statutes God already gave 40 years before that. But the people, unto this very day, they didn't perceive the Lord in His intention. Their eyes were held and their ears were closed. Nevertheless, they were the redeemed, led out people of God. But they could not take on to fulfill a task. They could not yet carry out what God wanted to carry out through them. What good was it for them that the shoes didn't wear out for 40 years and that God fed them when they just turned around in circles? And during that time, they were even nicely murmuring everything they didn't like. What good is a murmuring people for God, a wandering people, which did not understand yet the direction which He indicated? Here, a new day broke forth. A new time. The wandering was over. The promised land was in view. And now God wanted to put His people under His oath. He wanted to, if I say here the swearing in, then you know how I mean it, how it is meant. There was no way around, no left, no right. But that what was said was said. It had to be right. And these people were ready to submit under it. Because that he may establish thee today for a people unto thy, unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, and as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has for everything certain times. And there's no man who could influence God in his doings. But when the hour of God has come for something specific, and when the day has come which the Lord has made, then we must hearken to it. We must have an inner agreement to it, saying, Lord, that's how it is. I want to have my part in it. Do you know what the critical times were? Shall I tell you? When the priests had done their duties, and when they preached a sermon, then this was an important thing, yes. But by far not so important as at the moment of time when God made history amongst his people. In that moment where God sent prophets making known his will amongst his people, whoever didn't listen then missed the mark. When somebody missed what the priest said at the time, then God was also a bit angry with him because he didn't listen properly. But the obligation with the speaking of God and the responsibility which is connected with it, we must really see it and taking it to heart. We know everywhere throughout the centuries, it was preached. People came to the faith. But now, at the end of days, God made his word great and glorious. He has given us a prophetic foresightedness, the view of an eagle in reference to the things of God. And what could not be seen before, this appears unto us today in the bright light of the divine revelation of his word. I repeat, when priests preached or held their services, when the scribes gave their interpretations, all right, whoever didn't listen then, perhaps he didn't miss much. But with the moment when John came on the scene, there the thing was obliging for everyone who heard. But one couldn't bypass it anymore. I'm not saying, there a man spoke. Because God spoke through the man. And in that moment, there was a responsibility with this speaking of God. Here, in Hebrews 7, mine eyes fall on verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. The word of the oath maketh the Son, who at the same time is high priest. But not only high priest, but also Son. Through the word of the oath. And this is already consecrated forever. After the order of the high priest of Jesus Christ, who as the Son of God was proven to be the... And when he is perfected throughout eternity, then all whom he purchased and making priests after his order are. Because after the order of law, everything brings forth after its own kind. At that time, after the order of Aaron, now after the order of Jesus Christ. Is it not written in Psalms 110 or verse 4 and 5? Thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here, to me, it's about the term, the word of the oath. Because God could not swear by anyone else, therefore he swore by himself. And with that, he wanted to say, my decisions are unchangeable. What I have said, it remains like it. Is this not wonderful? Cannot our faith be settled and fastened with an anchor without that anyone can shake or loosen it? He can try to loosen it, yes, but nothing will happen. Our Lord is the surety of the new covenant. He became surety. And even if somebody would get in debt, our surety is able to pay every bill, every check. Not only is he able, he did it already. He became surety for you and for me. In the year of Jubilee, the proclamation went forth that all who were in debt, they were set free. But listen what is now being said to these people, and I ask you to take this as a teaching from the Lord. The setting in of the people of God before the promise came to fulfillment and before the people crossed the River Jordan. Nevertheless, connected with obligations. Verse 15. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. The contract which God made, the covenant which he made into his oath, in which he has established his people, setting them in, was not only for them who were standing there before the Lord, but for all whom he would still call, would still add. Thanks be to God, who has not a temporal program, but has made an eternal program which covers all of time. When we now should remember with woefulness this God did then, what good is it for us today, or what happened on Calvary, what have we for of it? What God has done is done forever and is valid for all at all times who are his own. But write these people with whom God makes the covenant, placing them, establishing them, putting them under this, under the oath. They had to be very careful. I read from the same chapter, the last part from verse 18. Lest you go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, gall, hemlock. For the first time in my life, I took the dictionary now to look up this word hemlock, the German Bible, because I wanted to know what it is. It's of course a plant which is not well known in a garden. And what is written in the dictionary? Poisonous plant. Poisonous plant. Those whom God has called out, led out, with whom he made the covenant, who walked with him for a time period, coming to the point that it now went over, to them he gives special instructions, and they must be obeyed. Lest there should be among you a root. Here's not just written a root. There are three words in a row which a man just uses when he wants to show the importance of what he wants to say. It's written, lest there should be among you a root. Did you all read it? Or am I the only one who reads? That's how it is written in the Word of God. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth hemlock, a poisonous plant, gall, and wormwood. You all know what it means. Luther writes gall. You all know what's all about. Paul admonished. And he writes in Hebrews, I think in chapter 12, verse 15, it should be. Hebrews 12, verse 14, he gives the instruction. What shall be? Hebrews 12, verse 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A word of admonition. Who will hearken to this word? Only those with whom God renews this covenant, establishing them, setting them in, taking them into his oath. People who have recognized the responsibility which they have toward God and toward his word. And I don't want to anticipate something here, but we of course translated a sermon with the title Respect. And we are truly living in a time of the total disrespect. And this is in every realm. I don't want to deal with that now, Because this word is addressed for us this morning. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth hemlock, gall, and wormwood. No one. When he reads these words of the curse, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart. It will not so be so well with the one who walks in the hardening of his heart. And when we here read the word hardening, hardening of heart, then we again can go to Hebrews. And I'm really thankful that it was written. Here it's written in chapter 3 from verse 7 and then in the following verses two times. Wherefore, today, if you will hear his voice, verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice. Before I read on, let me come back, namely, to Deuteronomy 29, where it's written, unto this day, you have no understanding. Verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. Yet the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And then, verse 10. Ye stand this day, all of you, not tomorrow, today, all of you, you stand before the Lord your God. What was this today? What kind of day was it on which this term was used? It was a special day in the plan of salvation, a day which God has made to oblige his people to his law and to fulfill his promise through them. It was the day that the Lord has made. Here in Hebrews we read, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And it says here in the last part from verse 10, they have not known my ways. Then verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How long is the today valid? The today is bound to the voice of the Lord. Today, if you hear my voice, the today makes the period of time in which God speaks. The today is not the time period in which priests and scribes were interpreting. The biblical today is the time period in which God speaks. And when we sing, This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Then we know what is connected with it. Not a day of the organizations and denominations, but the day which the Lord has made for His people, a today. A speaking of God is connected with the today. And with this speaking, the admonition is connected. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Believe me, one actually doesn't want to say it. But people who in the past centuries lived and didn't know half of what we know and believe today, they have 99% more chances to be in the glory of God than we, who have heard God's speaking and overriding it and think that we are in the right. You will see, on that day it will be manifested. It's even written more. Today, when you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. 40 years God had patience, and in His love He fed His people. He had taken care of them, giving them drink and food. And Paul lines out, about whom was God angry 40 years long? Of course, about them who did not believe. Beloved, God's word must be believed. It's not enough that we just hear it. It must be respected. It must be received in reverence. It must be believed. And this point, which was given to us for our personal lives, must be paid attention to, must be taken seriously from us, lest there should be among you a root that beareth hemlock, gall, or wormwood as a fruit. We have read what kind of havoc is caused by it. If this plant would only destroy him in whose garden it grows, or in whose heart it grows, then it would not be so bad. We have read, and many were defiled. Here comes the point of time where we have to take care of ourselves, taking care for one another, about the flock which the Spirit of God has made us overseers, taking care that, and everyone must take this admonition seriously. People who have seen 40 years the deeds of God, they are taken into the oath, are set in as the covenant people, and receive this admonition along their way, lest there should be among you a root of bitterness among you coming forth, causing damage. Should God have chosen this point of time to walk forward with His church, then there are rules and guidelines which we have to pay attention to, so that the damage is prevented from the people of God. Do we understand this? I don't know. I hope that God speaks to our hearts. And I think that the Spirit of God to each one of us has made already now clear that today, while reading this word, of course, it's not about what happened then. Is it not written that all things which have happened with Israel are given for us for a witness and for an example? What happened then is repeating in our days. There are people, that's how it is being said, who just read over these words and they think by themselves, I serve the Lord, shall I read it? And blessing himself in his heart, saying, everything will be well. I shall have peace. May nobody dare, under the sound of such a serious word, thinking in his heart, praise God, I bless myself, with me everything is in order. Not like this. God has spoken, and he wants that we take it seriously. Didn't we more or less found out? Didn't we notice what kind of damage can be caused when such things come forth from the root? Is it not then of great significance that the heart is newly plowed? That everything what might be in there, that it is being rooted out? And that what the prophet Jeremiah has said, back up your fellow ground and sow not among the thorns. This we should all take to heart. God will have a church which he not only redeemed, leading her, making efforts with her, but which he can set in, which he can use, with which he can carry out his plan to the completion. Didn't we already say last night? The people of Israel is back, but they must work. God has his church, but in this church he has set, and this divine order must be again here. It continues. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. A man who overrides what God said and required cannot remain blessed, although he was already blessed. In verse 24, it says, even all nations shall say, wherefore has the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them, and so forth. The making of the covenant has the blessing as its content. Whoever draws back and whoever doesn't obey what God said, on him rests the wrath of God. And we don't want to fall under the wrath of God. We want to be blessed with every blessing which God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. All the prophets and all the apostles, we want to be set in by God as His covenant people, as His holy priesthood, as sons and daughters of God. Just as God wants to have it. And it's of course an oath, as we read, Christ as the high priest was being put under an oath. God has sworn, and He said, "Thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." We, a priesthood after the order of Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. If we were anointed as He was anointed, then we are Christians. Christ means anointed one. Christ was the anointed one. Jesus is His name. Christ is the anointed one of God. When we are true Christians in the image of our Lord, then we must be anointed ones of God. There's no way around it. Shall we have served people and should have wasted our time who at the end don't reach the goal? This would be the most terrible which would be for me. When I was not 18 years old, I told the Lord, "Let me preach Your word in such a way that I myself, with all them to whom I preach, can stand our ground on that day." This is my intention. I want, before God, with all who have heard the word, I want to stand our ground. And the question is, how can we stand our ground before God? As we are, God has led us. God has blessed. The one can say, 10 years, 3 years, 20 years, 40 years. The people of Israel could say the same. And right at the end, before His promise came to fulfillment, before the Jordan was crossed, and before Canaan could be conquered, God gathered His own. And it was like making a new covenant. But it was not only making a covenant and the people went, but a making of a covenant, and the people were led over and reached into the possession of that what God promised. It was not a new covenant. It was a renewing of the covenant. Calling into remembrance what God did at the time, at the end of this course of time. Beloved, there's no other gospel, there's no other message, no other covenant than that covenant which God made with us in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. This is an eternal covenant. But this making of the covenant must at the end of days must come into our conscience anew, into our memory. "Gather ye my people with whom I made the covenant." I tell you, it's a direct continuation under the leading of the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us by His grace. Today, in the time span in which God speaks, harden not your hearts. Don't think by yourself, "Oh, everything will be well. I praise, of course, the Lord in my heart." There are many of them who think by themselves, oh, everything will be well. I'm in connection with God. I praise Him. I don't want to go into details here. From now on, it will not be sufficient anymore. Not suffice. From now on, God requires His blood-bought flock with whom He made the covenant on the cross of Calvary, that we are available for Him in obedience of faith, saying yes to this covenant, saying, Lord, place me under the same word under which you were placed. When it was spoken out, thou art high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Wouldn't that be something wonderful if God could anoint us in such a way after the order of Jesus Christ? You all know, Aaron, he poured oil on his descendants and he anointed them. What did the Lord do? When he was baptized in the River Jordan, the heavens were opened and the Spirit came down. He was anointed. What was the announcement on the day of Pentecost? The promise is unto you and to all the children and to all whom the Lord your God shall call. I want to have an anointing after the order of the high priest, Jesus Christ, my Lord. As the priests in the old covenant had the right to be anointed after the order of Aaron, the high priest, so we, as the people of God, of priests and kings, have the right and the privilege to be anointed after the order of the high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. After all, we are sons and daughters of God. Are you happy about it? This is God's holy word. And I'm happy that God has put this making of the covenant anew unto the lampstand, and His people feel well. And even we would have wandered 40 years long, at the end, it was worth it. If we hearken to the voice of the Lord, when we respond to it, when we do accordingly and see the fulfillment of it, then everything has become well. Now, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Already then, Moses knew that not all of the plan of salvation was revealed. And he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. This is something wonderful. And also this remark here, that what was hidden in the time of Moses was already revealed in our days. It belongs to us and to the children and grandchildren, all whom the Lord our God shall call. Ye all stand today before the Lord your God. Not before Him who brings the word of God, but before the Lord your God who speaks to us. Did we understand this? As the men of God, through whom the Lord spoke, stood before God, receiving His word, His speaking. So all who hear the speaking of God are placed under His word in His presence. And then the connection is established with God. And the Lord will bless and has already blessed and will do even greater things in the future. His covenant has not fallen down, and His grace shall not depart from us. This He said, the covenant of peace shall not fall down, and My grace shall not depart from thee. Although some things are going upside down, God made the covenant. He then, after 40 years, He confirmed it mightily, and His people, with love and well-pleasing, He led them into the land of Canaan. And do you think there was only one who could glory himself? Not one. God went before them and has put the enemies away, and He gave to His people the victory. The same He will do now. Blessed be His wonderful name. May He open unto us the understanding, anointing our eyes of our hearts, that we hear and see, and that we believe He will do it. This is the day. This is the time. Blessed be His name. Amen. Let us stand up. Perhaps we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Wonderful Calvary. Wonderful Calvary. My sin is forgiven. My guilt is paid for. Wonderful Calvary. This is the day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let the Word and the Spirit come in. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank You for the special days which You in the thousands of years time and again hast made. It was Your today. Your time was come to do something special. And then You made the day. You confirmed Your word. You blessed Your people. And You proved Yourself to be wonderful, glorious. Wonderful God, We thank you with all our hearts for the leading of your Holy Spirit, faithful Lord. Before my spiritual eyes, I see the plan of salvation coming to pass. Lord, this is the day that you have made. Renew your covenant. Take us into this obligation that we keep all the words, taking them to heart, doing accordingly. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. And confirm it by signs and wonders following. Lord, we worship you and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Bless us and with us all who are not here today. Faithful God in all cities, in all countries, everywhere. You know your own, and your own know you. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. Faithful Lord, you have become high priest after the order of Melchizedek. With your holy blood, you entered the Holy of Holies. The veil in the temple was torn. The way is free. We are reconciled with God. Lord, and then you have poured out your Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks and glory be to you. Give us grace. Loosen us on our inside. Make us free. And make us happy. Lord, your people of Israel, they had to forget the 40 years. A new day, a new time broke forth. My God, let us forget what is behind us. A new day, a new time has started. And for this I thank you and I praise your wonderful name. Your covenant people is gathered to renew the covenant. I thank you for it and praise you. All the words of this covenant shall be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be to you throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. It is so well with me. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know whether you all heard the word of introduction properly. I have the impression this is not the case. And you all know my power of observation is sometimes correct. I hope that this time it will be just a delay. Brother Schmidt read it, that the people which were gathered and which heard the word of God, that after every passage, when a thing came which touched their hearts, a thought was lined out, then they all said, Amen. The same comes now. And I tell you, you don't say amen to the one who speaks here. We don't have to tell you that. When somebody says amen, then of course to God and his word. And to this we can always say amen. I had the impression, Beloved, you all know we give the full commitment, but we also want that all the others really understand that with all their hearts they have to tune in. There's no solo effort. Why gathering the people if I can reach the goal alone? My goodness, and you all, then everyone could remain where he is, saving costs and time, going fishing and so forth. God calls his people together as always. And he wants to have an inner agreement in your and my heart to his word. And when his word is addressed to us and the precious thoughts of his will are lined out, then you can say amen to it. How many say amen in silent? Don't show me your hands. But I think this would be the case. You say the amen into your heart. It's also nice. God sees the heart. And perhaps he knows what is meant by it. But what do you think? How much it means for a brother and a sister, for people who sit left and right or behind or in front of you, and somebody says suddenly, amen. Perhaps to the one, the thought which becomes great to you at the moment didn't flesh out properly, and suddenly he hears an amen. And he says, one moment, what was here? And already he thinks about it again and is happy that somebody else was in the matter. Let us be in the matter. Let us be focused. I think you're on Brother Branham, who gave the story of a man who has said amen loudly in a special meeting. And this man called the deacons and said, bring him out. And then the man of God said, you can also bring me out if I don't hear an amen. So is the thing. So, an inner agreement to God and his word. Or do you disesteem it that God in this time is gathering us under his word, speaking to us? I don't think so. Please pardon me, this small remark here. It should not be a rebuke here, just a admonition. 318. Let us sing 380. Nobody will be disappointed. This is impossible that I will be disappointed. Let us sing it nicely with all our hearts by faith. 380. No one will be put to shame who waiteth for God. Should I be the first who shall be put to shame? No, this is impossible. You are my faithful refuge. Your word never deceives. You have promised. Whoever asks shall receive. He that seeks shall find what God determines for him. He who knocks faithfully by faith, to him it will be opened without any doubt. On your word I will do it. All my sorrows, all my trouble, everything what torments me, I will lay it before you. You who knows every tear.